my brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. Yes. Oh, boy, I tell you what, I like the break times in between so many different things that God has us do. It's cool. It's an interesting time. You know, for me, sometimes I go through these phases where sometimes my spirit starts to get a little bit agitated about stuff, and usually that's just because God is stirring something inside, or there's something else going on, and I really don't know, you know, what is up or what's taking place. But you know, whenever we seek Him in those times, He shows us, you know, and He always brings us back to a place of peace. If it's something that's going on external and something that's kind of bugging from the outside, then, you know, usually the quick solution to that is just to take that to His feet, to bring whatever those problems and those situations are before Him, even as it says in Scripture, to cast all your cares upon Him because He cares for you, and to not be anxious about anything, but in all things with prayer and supplication to make your requests known unto God. And you know, I think too often we end up carrying things a whole lot longer than we need to because we fail that immediate response, which should be, okay, this is something that came up, this is something that is bugging me, and I just need to take it quickly to the Father and put it before Him so that I can move on, so that something doesn't fester, so something doesn't start to work on your mind and find some kind of resting place in your soul or some kind of foothold, which is what the devil continues to look for with the people of God, is any place that he can latch on to you by your free will, allowing that to happen. So, quick solution for the external problems and issues that come around you is to just take them to God quickly. Put them at His feet and be open and real with Him about it. If there's something that's bugging you, don't dress it up. Don't do that, oh thou that flung the stars in the sky and put all the fish in the deepest parts of the ocean. Don't do that. Just be real. Just be honest with God and be like, God, this is where I'm at. This is how I feel about this. And, you know, but I put it before you, and Lord, I pray, Lord, your kingdom come and your will be done, and I just allow you to take over in this situation and to regulate my heart and my thoughts about this and to show me, what it is that I need to do, if there is anything I need to do about this besides bringing it before you. And you leave it there. You leave it at His feet. you know, I think too often we carry things that we are not supposed to carry, and we end up, because of that, tired and wore out in a race where we're supposed to have joy, or a race where we're supposed to be running with peace, and it's offered and it's allowed, but it comes on God's terms. So, yeah, just a quick admonition for those of you that are listening that, you know, you're kind of struggling with some things and they're weighing on your mind and on your heart. You know, really, there's not a lot that we really have to worry about, you know, in this life and in this journey that we have here. Because, you know, God is taking care of, He's taking care of pretty much all of it. I mean, you know, the part that we get is we get to live it out. But, I mean, when you realize that, you know, how much of this life and this universe is completely held in balance by God's creative hand, from the air you breathe to the body that you live in for this season of time, to the consciousness that you're able to have even about this situation, you got to give it up at that point and just realize, okay, Lord, you are completely in control of 100% everything in this situation, so I'm not going to try to mess it up. Lord, just show me your will be done. And you know, I think we complicate this too many times over and again by thinking, you know, by, I don't know why, by some reason, it's somewhere along the way, God's people get tricked into thinking, even if it's for a moment, that, you know, God isn't in control or that he doesn't know what he's doing with a particular situation. Just because things are not happening the way that you think they should, or the way that you planned or scripted in your own carnal, natural mind, does not mean that God's plan is not coming to fruition 100% the way that he would desire for it to be. You know, I think something too, in the middle of all of these situations that go on, I think God allows, this is not me spouting off a little bit, but I think, I mean, just even as I read scripture so many times, I see how God allows so often for the scales to be completely tipped in favor in the natural, in what would look like the favor of the enemy. And it's in those situations when, you know, he also separates the sheep from the goats, and he separates those that are his and those that walk with him and those that are called by his name from those that are pretenders and sort of following along while times are good. And he separates out those that are his from those that are not. And once he's sort of done that, and he's got that small core, be it, you know, Gideon's army or, you know, the 7,000 prophets that had not bowed their knee before Baal, or, you know, whatever it is, he's got that group of his that, you know, will stand true to the end no matter what. And then he, in that situation and in that time, he just flips the script completely and shows himself strong. And, you know, like Hezekiah and the army of Assyria showing up and trash talking, you know, there's just a moment in time where God says, okay, you done crossed the line, and he executes 186,000 soldiers in one night. Now, it sucks to be under that commander for those guys, but, you know, frankly, they're part and parcel of the props on the stage, you know, and we all are living out a certain role and a certain part in this entire drama that God's allowing to unfold and we get to be a part of. So, you know, in this process and in this time, first of all, don't worry about anything. Everything is under control. There is not a thing in the world that you need to worry about. God has promised to take care of those that walk with him. He's promised to watch out for those that are led by his Spirit. And, you know, for us, this life, the moment, okay, everybody passes from this life into the next. So, you know, if you're held captive by the fear of death, the natural death, that is, if you're held captive by that fear, this is something you got to bring before the Lord, because that fear paralyzes, and perfect love drives out all fear. And when God has filled your heart, and when you allow him to completely fill your heart in all of these spots where, you know, you might be still holding on to something here or there, thinking that you know better than him. Well, as long as you do that, you leave a spot for also fear to creep in, and also your own plans and intentions to basically limit you from what God wants to do with you and wants to do in your life. But when you open yourself up unto the will of God in every area of your life, you also open yourself up for the love of God to be shed abroad in your heart, and for that love to drive out all fear, including the fear of death, so that you can truly live. See, as long as you are afraid to die, you will live this life very, very carefully, in tiptoeing through a minefield without being able to hear the voice of the one that knows exactly where everything is. and all of the snares and the pitfalls and the mines are laid. Instead, you're trying to work your way through that whole thing, and you are going to stumble across some stuff that's going to really shipwreck you. But when you listen to the Spirit of God, He leads you and guides you through. You know, I've used this analogy before. I mean, imagine if you've never played chess before, and the game chess with, you know, the king and the queen and the rook and the castle and the bishop and all the pawns. If you've never played chess before, and then all of a sudden now, somebody sits down and they say, okay, this is a pawn, this is what this piece does. This is a bishop, this is what this does. This is a king, this is a queen, here's how these pieces work. And so you just get couple things about how the pieces work, and then you sit down across to play from Bobby Fischer, who is one of the greatest chess minds of all time. Now you're told, okay, now it's time for you to play this game. You get one try, and if you lose, that's it, that's your soul. I mean, that's basically what people come into in this world, when they're born into this world, surrounded by this world system. And so people are born into it, and they're like, well, okay, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. So they're like, okay, this move seems good, this move seems good. And so they kind of start making those moves, and all the while, the enemy is just shredding them and setting them up for their ultimate checkmate, which is, you know, the harvesting of their souls. And so they're making moves and trying, doing their best, doing the very best that they can. They are just getting destroyed and set up for destruction by an enemy that's been playing this game for millennium and knows every strategy, knows every possible in and out to destroy his competition. Now, take that scenario, and all of a sudden now here is that very same person born into the same situation, and you are taught, okay, here's, so this is a pawn, this is what this does, this is a bishop, this is a queen, this is a king, this is a knight, this is a castle, like that. So you and then all of a sudden that person, the Spirit of God comes alive in that person, and the Spirit of God whispers into that person's ear, pawn from A2 to A5, knight from B1 to B4. So I'm just saying, like, you know, I don't know what those moves are, but I'm saying that, like, that's basically what God starts doing with His people. Is you don't understand the game of chess. You don't understand all of the strategies that go into it. Not at the level of your opponent, for sure. You don't understand what they are and how they work. But the Spirit of God that knows all things gives His people the next move they need to make when they need to make it. And so that person that is being led by the Spirit in that game, where the still small voice of the Spirit of God is whispering into their ear, into their heart, and saying, this is your next move. This is your next move. This is the next thing that I want you to do. The whole time, you've got that enemy of your soul lined up across from you with all of his world system and all of the things that he's got to bring to bear on you. And even though he's launching attacks and doing all of these different things, the Spirit of God is leading and guiding you through that game. And ultimately, in Christ Jesus, we are victorious. In Christ Jesus, we win. But you have to listen to the voice of the Spirit of God. You cannot do this in your own thinking. The moment that you stop listening to the voice of the Spirit of God that says, Rook to A5. The moment that you stop listening to that voice, you say, oh, but this is a better move. If I move this move over here, I'll take a bishop or whatever of the enemies. The moment that you do that, you don't realize that that's over there is a setup, and they're going to take all of your pieces and put you into a trap. But if you just listen to the voice of the Spirit of God and just do the move that He tells you, you will be fine. And that is part of the conditioning process that God seeks to do with His people. He seeks to bring us to a place where we come into utter dependence on Him, where the only voice that we listen to and the only voice that we trust is that which is the Spirit of God speaking to us. And if it's anything else, you're in trouble. If it's the voice of your own carnal mind separate from God, you're in trouble. If it's the voice of well-meaning, well-wishing friends apart from the Spirit of God, you are in trouble. And even when they speak in connection with the Spirit of God, it should resonate with God's Spirit that's in you. There should be a unity of the Spirit that comes in the fellowship with the true brothers and sisters of Christ Jesus. So, you know, there's also a complete simplicity in this kind of a walk. You don't have to figure it all out. You don't have to have a 50-year plan. You do not have to make everything work. You do not have to balance everything out and figure out all the pieces. All you have to do is when the Spirit of God speaks, you listen and you obey. God's made it really simple for His people. Is just a place of trust. And you know, the thing is what God does too with those that are truly His and truly belong to Him is if there's something that's blocking, He blocking them from walking with Him like that, He will allow that thing, that idol in their life, out of His love for you, He will allow that thing to be smashed and totally destroyed and totally demolished, just so that thing is moved out of the way, because that thing is killing you. That thing is stopping you from receiving the direction that God has for you, which is the path of life. So when that thing, whatever it is that you hold on to so dearly, when that thing starts to fall apart, let it go. Let those dead things die. Don't try to hold on to it. Trust Him, because He knows what He's doing with you. He knows where He's taking you. He knows where He's leading His people. He's the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down His life for His sheep. God has given you life through His sacrifice and through what He's done on the cross. So we trust Him in turn, knowing that He wants us to have a full life, an abundant life, during our time while we're here. So, yeah, it's just a place of trust. It's a place where, you know, we are called to come into. We're not, I don't understand sometimes why there are so many people that, why there's so many people that choose to live less than that. When you have the best offered to you, why would you choose something less? Why would you go with something that is at a substandard, at a sub-level? Why would you choose dead religion over true relationship with Christ? Why would you sit in a pew for 30 years and hear the same old recycled garbage over and again with a bunch of dying people all around you and say, okay, this is good enough, when God's called you, knowing inside the whole time people's spirits, for those that had any life in them at all, their spirits were crying out, they were feeling spiritually anemic, spiritually just craving anything real, but they sat there over and over and over again, Sunday to Sunday, same old tired crap, recycled over and again, just because the guy wore a collar and a robe and there was a cross on the podium. I mean, if that's all you needed, oh my gosh. Anyways, Why? Don't get up. Move. Go. Take a Sunday. Spend it in prayer. Take a Sunday. Spend it reading the Word and asking God to show you. See how you feel after that Sunday. Skip church. Don't worry. You won't go to hell. Serious. Oh my gosh. You know, there are people that are so religiously bound that if they don't check their time card and their religious service that they are required to do, they somewhere in their head, they've been so severely programmed that they actually believe now they're losing their brownie points that they've been building up. Anyways. Well, okay. There is a better way. There is a true way. You know, there was something, I've heard this said in different ways before. A buddy said this to me one time, but he just said, if you continue to do what you always have done, you'll continue to get what you've always got. And another friend of mine said, you know, the definition of insanity, he said, to do the same thing over and again, over and over again, and to expect at some point to get a different result. And, you know, it's kind of, I mean, they're both saying the same thing, but basically, it's, you know, if you're dying and spiritually dead in the place you are, move. Ask the Spirit of God, Lord, what is going on? When was the last time? Search your heart. Ask God, when was the last time that you heard His voice? What was the last thing that God told you to do? Why didn't you do that? What were you so afraid of? So afraid that would happen that stopped you from doing that thing that God told you to do? Why didn't you make that move? Because from the moment that God spoke that to you, and you chose not to, you put yourself in a spot you don't want to be. And now thank God that God is gracious, and God listens to the repentance of His children, and you can this day repent and get back on track. And even if you're going to get a little bit late for dinner, you're still going to get there. So stop wherever you are, get back on track and ask the Lord, Lord, what is that instruction that you have for me? And wait on Him. Ask, seek, and knock. Ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be open unto you. But if you don't ask for it, if you're not wanting the will of God, you're not going to have it in your life. If you're not seeking for Him, you won't find Him. If you don't knock at His door, if you do not want to be at the gate of Christ, you're not going to be there. You'll be where your heart is. You know, sometimes people, they have all these misconceptions about, you know, even life after this one. And they're like, you know, first of all, they create their own judgment. And they judge, and they create their own judgment of God. Oh my gosh. Anyways, of where they say, well, how can a good God, you know, send somebody to hell? Do you know the truth of the matter is? People choose exactly where they want to go. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. And what happens is people have set their hearts, you know, the scriptures tell us, set your hearts on things above. Where moth and rust don't destroy, where thieves don't break in and steal. So, you and I have been instructed where to put our hearts if for the follower of Christ. But the world puts their hearts in a different spot. And so, when you finish this life, you go to the place where your heart and your affections lie. So if your affections and your heart lies in the world, that's what you get for all eternity. And what the true manifestation of that is. So the mask being ripped off and you getting the reality of what's behind door number two. So, yeah, for the people that choose that, it's like they choose that. God respects your free will. So if somebody chooses hell, God lets them have it. If you choose Him, if He calls to you and you respond and you choose Him, you will have Him. But if you choose to reject, you get the result of your choice. So, you know, every person in eternity is right where they're supposed to be and right where they've chosen to be. There is no mistakes on that side. There is no false judgment. There is not one person in eternity that is not exactly where they are meant to be for all time. And this life right now here that you are living is your dressing room for eternity. That is this life right here is your eternal prep. And you get a window of time to either seek Him and find Him and be found in Him, or to reject Him and to live with the eternal consequence of that choice. So, you know, there is no, I mean, on that side, there is no mistakes. You know, and the funniest thing here is I just think some of these guys must have been dropped on their heads, or, you know, in their formative years or something, because you cannot bribe a judge on that side. You cannot weasel your way out. You cannot whitewash your true intention, your true heart. You get exactly what you have chosen. And the outer layer of who you are, that physical being, is you shed that. And the true spirit, the true soul that you have within, that soul is revealed for what it is, and then it's manifest eternally as the spiritual being that you really are. So that's why too, I mean, when people get caught up with, you know, all this physical stuff in a carnal world, you know, none of that lasts. So, you know, that physical being, all of us will shed that. And it's kind of interesting how, you know, it enraptures so many people's minds and thoughts, and they're just all caught up in that. But, you know, in the end, it's like, if you really saw the spirit that's within those people and what they're growing within and what is going to be manifest, you would not find that attractive. You would not find that attractive at all. And yet, you know, but anyways, we live in a very base world, you know, where things are very, very dull. The senses here are very dull. And, but still, in the midst of this whole thing, we can see God's amazing creative ability and just the beauty of His creation. My gosh, you know, just, you know, get outside. Go look at the sky. Look at what He's made. Watch a sunset. Look at the clouds. Let Him speak to you through the breeze that goes through the trees. I mean, watch, if you're close to the water, watch just sun rays just dance off the surface. I mean, his creative mastery and creative ability knows no limits. And that's just from what we see here in this reality. I mean, on an eternal scale, it's mind-blowing. But anyways, you know, that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has ever conceived what God has, and no mind has ever perceived what God has in store for those that walk with Him and those that trust Him. God has got something amazing in store for those that would run the race with him. And, you know, that life is not something too that you have to just wait and hold out for and hope you kind of make, you know, after this life is, you know, finished. No, God intended for you to start living an abundant life now, this day, but it comes on his terms, not on yours. You and I do not set those rules. We do not make that happen. What you and I do is, Lord, whatever my thought was, whatever my plan was for my life, I lay it down at your feet. I don't want it. I don't need it. I want your will, your kingdom come, your will be done. And so if you want me to be a janitor, I will be a janitor. If you want me to be a bus driver, I'll be a bus driver. If you want me to be a president, I will be a president. I don't care. Just as long as you're in it. Just as long as you are directing. And Lord, do not let me deceive myself. Do not let me try to pretend that I am following you and just dressing something up in my own mind. Lord, reveal my heart, make all things known. And Lord, just if I'm missing it, you know, that's an amazing prayer. My dad taught me that one, you know, sometime back, but was just basically was, God, if I'm missing it, please show me. You know, if I'm missing it, if I am off, would you please reveal it unto me? Because I do not want to miss you. I do not want to miss your will. I do not want to miss what you are doing. And, you know, he will do that. You know, if you are open for his correction, he will do that in your life. So, anyways, just a word of encouragement for you all. And I just want to encourage you just to press on and continue to trust him. And, some of you have written back or talked to me recently and said you like the RSS feeds and that it's working for the podcast. And so, if you see that button up in the where you can just click on that, you can sign up for the RSS feeds free, of course, and it just downloads straight. So if you got one of those iPods, or if you just want to just get the audio straight, it'll do that for you. And thank you again to our brilliant team member Daniel, who sets up these things. So anyways, cool to see that that's working, and also that the mobile site is working there. It's just over there on the right or the left side of the homepage. So if you see that, you know, and you access in places with a pretty good bandwidth on your phone, you know, you can just click there and get the latest audios right to your phone. So anyways, continuous improvement as we continue to keep up with you guys, and you guys write us and say what would be useful and helpful, and if we can, we definitely try. So, and always thank you for those of you that pray and those of you that chip in and help us keep going in this. So we just love you. And we pray for you. We pray that God blesses you this day. So anyways, hey, let's just pray. Lord, I just want to say thank you again, Father, for my brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for their lives. I thank you, Father, for their walk, Lord, and for just, Lord, the plans that you have for each and every one of us. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that all fear would just be driven out this day, Lord, even as each and every one of us opens up our lives for the inflowing of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we trust you. We look to you, Father, and we pray in Jesus' name, your kingdom come and your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, okay, love you. God bless you, and we'll catch up again real soon. Bye. Bye.